Hello and welcome to this edition of Community Connections. I'm your host, Chuck Curlin. Today we're with Brittany Gralla. She is a muralist with Hope is the Way and Love is the Answer. Welcome to the program, Brittany.
Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be here.
Oh, it's great to have you. And I guess my number one question off the bat, is a muralist an artist or?
It is a type of artist. So I think of an artist as being like an overall umbrella, and then muralist is a type of artist. So we work on walls. We can paint directly on a wall or on some type of fabric or mural cloth that gets applied to the wall. So yeah, we would just work large scale.
So what gave you the inspiration to become a muralist?
I just have always been into art, and I actually did my first when I was about 12 in my own room, and I had the ability to just paint and create. And growing up, I was always interested in art, but never pursued it as a career until about 5 years ago was when I decided I think I could do this full time.
So. Now, giving that 5 years ago, did a light switch click saying, you know what, I've always wanted to do this. This is what I want to do. Who did you talk to, and how did you convince them to say, like your husband, did you say, hey, this is really what I want to do? Yeah. What was his thoughts too?
It's funny because it was right during COVID, and my job was in an office, but during COVID, everything went remote and daycare shut down. So we had two little kids working from home. I was like, okay, something has to change. This is not sustainable and it's not enjoyable. So I was like, what can I do that I might enjoy? And maybe I could finally pursue my hobbies, my interests as a career. So I started doing more murals. I had always been doing art on the side and a couple murals here and there, but never really put myself out there as being, okay, I can make this into a career path. So that's when I first started. I did several community-based ones with other artists, and then did my own kids' rooms, and just building up practice, working for friends and family at first, and then word started spreading. I was like, okay, I'm gonna try to do this.
I'm curious, in terms of a mural, is there a size requirement? What I mean by that is, like, you know, we know what a painting is, but a mural is usually, like you said, it's on a wall.
Yeah.
But could it be a small mural, or is it usually about 10 by 10, or, you know,
that's... 10 by 10 is probably the average, I would say, for like a standard wall, what we would expect, like basically the wall behind us here. But no, there's not really a set size limit. I did one with the Upper Marion School District at the beginning of this year, and we did it on panels, and it was a small wall or small mural. It was only 4 feet by 6 feet. Mm-hmm. Still counts as a mural. And so I've worked with murals that are as large as 1600 square feet. So it's really just depends on the size, but there's no size limit one way or the other.
Well, what's the creative process with it? I'm really curious, because you're looking at a blank wall and you're saying, I know what I could put there. Mm-hmm. And how does that all come about?
It's so funny you say that, because every wall that I look at is a canvas. And if I see a wall that is blank, I'm like, oh, I could put so much on that wall, or it just needs something. So I see everything, the opportunity and potential it has. And especially, you know, I think the more I do, the more my eyes just open to what it could be, where we could bring something that really could be meaningful and beautiful for the space. So, yeah, that's the creative process. The wheels are always turning. I'm always thinking of the, you know, possibilities. I will sometimes just sketch out designs, or I have like an iPad that I'll draw things out or try to come up with a general concept for. Oftentimes when I'm working with people, they'll approach me with either a general idea, or maybe they'll say, oh, we don't know what we want for this wall, but we want to do something with it. We want to create a mural for this space. So I'll use reference photos or images, and then we'll try to come up with a concept. We'll tweak the design and eventually get to a final concept that we want to put on the wall.
Well, certain colors come into play. So if someone approached you saying, well, we know I'd like to have a banana on the wall here, but I don't want it to be yellow. I want it a different color. Is it your artistic, decision to try to sway them, say, I don't know if this would work properly, especially if I'm going to be putting it up on the wall?
I think it's a give and take, really. I really like to make whatever my client wants.
Okay.
They're vision, their dream become reality. So if they want a purple banana, I will give them a purple banana. But, you know, I try not to steer them in one way or another, but unless they ask for that, unless they really want that and are looking for more of like an artistic expression, like a true artist interpretation of something, then I can give them a rainbow of, like, you know, all different types of bananas.
Right. Well, that's what posed the question, because I'm saying you have an artistic expression that you'd like to show. You mm-hmm. have a talent. And if someone's trying to tweak it in a way, you're the one that's putting it up on that wall, and you're going to have to live with, even though you're keeping your client happy.
Yeah.
But artistically, you might say, it's not really what it should have been. You know, that's yeah. what I was getting at.
Right. I think it's different if I'm being paid for it. I really try to, I'm not going to give my opinion too much, but if it's something where, like, I know that this is going to be seen by a lot of people, or, you know, out in the public, or just not necessarily a client, like in someone's home, for example, then I would try to give more direction.
That makes
like,
sense.
Okay, well, this might be
unique.
A broader, what we could have, like, the broader audience appreciate more. So,
all right. Yeah, that's a good answer. Very good answer. So, you've done a number in the community.
Yeah.
Is there something that you're most specifically proud of?
I'll actually talk about one of my very first ones was actually for the Malvern Center. It was a handprint tree mural. I'm in recovery, so that was my way of raising money for the Malvern Center. It was a 5-year, on my 5-year sobriety anniversary, I wanted to do something to give back and also make something really meaningful in the space, because the blank walls around, every time I would go, I was like, this needs something. This could be the perfect place for a mural. It could be the perfect place for a collaborative mural. So I reached out to the board. We got all the approval. We had a trunk of a tree and then some tree branches, but then we had everybody put their handprints on. So it was like hundreds of people. This is a still growing mural to this day. People can add their handprint to this wall. So people that are in recovery or come to meetings, if they want to add to it, they can. But this wall represents, you know, I'm willing to extend my hand to the next person who needs help. It's a visual representation. It's really impactful. So that's one that I'm probably most proud of.
Well, you mentioned a point that you're working with a number of people. Does it get more difficult? Like, when you're working by yourself, you have the vision and you know mm-hmm. where you're going. But if there are a number of hands in a cookie jar, does it make things a little bit more difficult?
That one was pretty easy and straightforward because we're just using handprints. So, but yeah, when you add in brushes and rollers and give, especially working with children, you know, if you have a lot of kids with brushes on the wall, it can get messy, and unless there's a lot of structure involved.
So I guess that's where the color by numbers come into play.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
That having now, more organization.
Right. Now, is that something that you designed? That must be pretty neat.
Yeah, yeah. So there's some projects where I will lay out the design, we'll put it on the wall, and then people can add to it. I'll have the colors laid out or just make it open if it's very creative freedom oriented mural where the kids can participate, or students or whoever is involved. We can just have everybody get involved and be a part of the mural.
That's pretty awesome. But one thing I would like to ask is your work just done here locally, or do you expand outward?
I love to stay local, just travel reasons with little kids at home. I appreciate when I can find a local job or a project to work on, but I do travel as well. And so, yes, I've done extensive traveling for some jobs, and my most recent one was actually to Costa Rica. So wow. I painted alongside about 20 other artists. We all met down there and painted 3 murals, and it was a great learning experience, great to collaborate with other artists, and just being able to create something all together was really cool.
Yeah, maybe that's where the banana analogy came from. I don't know why, but that's pretty wild that you're in Costa Rica. Now, were all the murals in the same area, or were they spread throughout the country?
Yes, they actually were all part of this resort. So it was like a place that people can rent out, like an Airbnb type of a place. And so we did 1 exterior, 2 interior. So the 2 interior ones were in some of the villas and the bedrooms. And so people that stay there now will get to wake up to a beautiful mural on the wall.
So that's a good point. So when you do something exteriorly, weather could be a factor. So what happens then if it, like, you know, the rain, especially in Costa Rica, it could rain like...
Oh, it rained every day there. We were fighting, like, okay, we're going to just run out now while we still have a little bit of sunlight. And then, because we knew it was going to rain within the next couple hours. But yeah, here we don't have to worry about it quite as much, but there are definitely times when I'm on a project and I have to take the weather into consideration. I was working on one for Highland Orchards Farm in Westchester last year, and a thunderstorm came out of the blue and just started raining down the paint from the wall that I had just put on. I was like, oh my gosh, this is not there was no rain in the forecast, but sometimes you can't predict it. It just happens. So
does
being
it get,
prepared is...
Is it erased or do you have to redo it?
Yeah, I had to redo it. I luckily had a large supply of paper towels and baby wipes on hand. So I was able to just clean what I could while it was still wet and dripping off, and then went back when it was dry enough.
Wow. Yeah, I've always wondered that, because there, especially in the area, there are a lot of beautiful murals, especially now. It's a big thing for towns, especially in Pennsylvania, like to have a mural to welcome them into, like Gettysburg or Harrisburg. You'll see a mural. Do you have a vision like that for here in Upper Marion Township?
I do. I would love to make some placemaking murals happen in King of Prussia, Bridgeport, you know, the whole region. It's such a great way to attract people, to encourage businesses, and just make people proud of their place of where they live and work. So I do see a lot of potential for their, you know, bigger placemaking type murals.
Now, that's a good question, because say here in Upper Marion Township, you have an idea. Would you have to present it in front of the board of directors and say, hey, this is what we want, and they have to approve it?
I'm sure there would be some back and forth and go into the meetings and things. I actually pitched one to Bridgeport like that a month ago. I went to their council meeting and I was like, hey, I know there's this wall here. Can I put a mural here? So there are definitely opportunities to collaborate, but I would love to, if we're doing a project like that, I want it to be a collaborative piece with the community getting involved too, finding out what the community members want to see on it as well.
I don't know how to word this. Is there ever any pushback and you have to say, all right, it's not as bad as you think it is, you know?
there are definitely some obstacles that we always have to take into consideration. But I think, you know, getting the buy-in from people and letting them see the value that it will bring, and seeing really just the impact that they can have overall, the positive things that can come from it, you know, is good.
Well, you mentioned getting the community involved.
Yeah.
How do you go about doing that? Like, how do you get the word out?
So I have some projects in the works, actually, that I'm really excited about. I don't know if we can go into that, but the one that I'm most looking forward to is a very community collaborative piece. It's for the You Are Not Alone program. It's a message of mental health, you know, just raising awareness and trying to reduce stigma, but also just to help people, regardless if they're struggling with mental illness or not, you know, just feel like, oh, that's a nice message and like something that they can connect with at some level. So that is a piece where we got some community members to give input on what the design should be, and trying to make it happen. We're going to have the community involved in the painting of it. So it'll be laid out, like we were talking about, like a paint by number style. I'm going to lay out the design on the wall and then have people come to paint it. So that's happening this spring, and I'm really excited about that one.
Now, is it already laid out or are you still working on it? Like, because it's going to be paint by number.
Yeah. No,
does it take a while to design and organize all this?
So we do have the design. I can show you somewhere down here. Yes.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah. Yep. There you go.
This is our design.
Oh, very nice.
This is actually, it's upside down.
The colors look good.
This is part of the You Are Not Alone, so it'll have the messaging. Sorry, my hands are covered in paint, but it's dry. The You Are Not Alone message coming to that wall is going to be in such a highly visible place that people will be able to walk by or drive by and see it. And hopefully it'll resonate with a lot of people. But we're going to have different organizations as well. People coming from local nonprofits, especially, will be involved in painting. And there's one group, Small Moments Foundation. They help students, they have children that have lost a parent or a sibling to cancer. So for them, this mural is a message of you don't have to go through your grief or pain alone. Like, you're not alone in your suffering and pain. So it's going to mean something different to each person, but it's really going to be impactful piece. And the main focus really is the mental health. So we're gonna hope to have a ribbon cutting May 1st to kick off Mental Health Awareness Month and dedicate the mural to the community.
Wow. Well, I see the butterflies and the flowers, the life, and people who lose loved ones, they believe that a butterfly can show up every once in a while. So that's the first thing I thought of when you mentioned that. So there's the connection you found up with this mock-up of the mural, right?
Yeah.
So that's fantastic. Now, did you have to present multiple options, or was this the one that...
This was like the 50th. So we go back and forth sometimes. But I am, I like to give way more options than are needed sometimes. Sometimes it's pretty straightforward. I'm actually painting one for Mission Kids, another local nonprofit. And when I presented what I wanted to paint, it was one design and they loved it. And so we're going with that one design. But for this one, it's like, okay, we have these guidelines. And it's funny when you have guidelines, like, okay, it has to say these words. It has to be in this color palette. It sometimes makes it more challenging. When you have free creative freedom, I can create something beautiful in one shot and it's like, okay, this is a winner. But sometimes when you have more direction, it makes it more challenging to create with something that will be a good fit. So,
well, the one point that you made, for nonprofits, do grants get involved? How does this all
Yeah, sometimes
be paid?
They do.
Yeah.
So sometimes they get grants. NAMI is, they're gonna come out with the local NAMI chapter to help paint, but I've done a number of projects. I was actually there today. That's why my hands are covered in paint, because I was leading a wellness program with them, an art activity with their people. But they, I did a mural in their office last year, got a grant through that, and we had students involved. So that was a project where they not only were involved in the painting, but also the design. So I went into North Penn High School. We got students to draw out what they wanted for this wall, and we combined all of their ideas into one cohesive concept, and then we painted it.
Brittany, you told us a lot about some of the things that have happened already. I know one you did probably 3 years ago at the community center, a mural. Is there any word on having like an anniversary event for that?
Yes, actually there is. And that was one of my favorite murals also, because I get to teach yoga in that space. So it's in the Mind Body Studio at the Upper Marion Community Center. So whenever I teach or take a class down there, I'm always, it's just, it feels like a nice homey place, you know, especially when you're doing yoga. But that community center has their 10-year anniversary this year. So we are hoping to create some kind of a collaborative piece, whether it's a canvas or a mural that we could have interior or exterior to dedicate for that would be amazing. So yeah, cool. That's
any of the people that do yoga get involved?
Oh yes, yeah. I would love to have community members, you know, the community center members especially, come take part. If you're a member of that community center, you should be a part of that mural. So yeah.
So Brittany, you mentioned the You Are Not Alone mural. Yeah. Is there any type of plans on expanding or making, I guess, additions to that?
Yes, so that, when it happens, is going to involve the community. I'm gonna try to have 3 days where the community can come and be involved in the painting. So we'll have designated time slots that people can show up if they wanna be involved and add some paint to the wall. I'll show you the layout of it. We're gonna have very organized. Sorry, I've got all these papers.
Nice.
But yeah, it'll be zoned. So we'll have, if people are very new to painting, kids, we have beginner friendly options for them. And we're gonna lay it out almost like a paint by number grid where they can choose which color or shape they wanna do. And it'll be very just, you know, I wanna give people the freedom to decide what they wanna do and how they wanna contribute to the mural. And if they don't wanna paint on the wall for any reason, we'll have other activities and things for them to be involved in as well.
Now, will you supervise all this? Or
yes, I'm not gonna be painting during those times when the community will be painting. I'm gonna be just overseeing, directing, and kind of making sure that if there are spills that they get cleaned up right away. So more of the operational side.
Now, is there a guesstimation on how many people you think will be involved in this?
I'm hoping that we'll have 15 to 20 within each half hour time segment, and we're going to try to have it open to the community, but we also have different nonprofit organizations or other painting companies or groups of, you know, local organizations want to come and take part and have it be a team building activity for their team. So we're going to have set times also for their groups to come.
Oh, wow. So are there any specific groups that seem to ask for your advice more than others?
I think children, yeah. Definitely. It's funny, when I've done work with children, certain kids will feel almost stuck when they are on a project because they don't want to mess it up. And they're like, oh, they have this fear of they're going to mess things up, so then they don't even try. So I want to give them the freedom to just have fun with it and just experiment. The thing I always say, especially when I'm working with kids, is the best part about working with paint is you can always paint over it. So paint, even if you get it on the floor, you can color match it. I painted my shoes today because I couldn't, like my high heels, I was like, oh, this doesn't match it. Like, so I, you know, you can use paint to right. fix almost anything. It's a great thing.
Yes, because it can be covered up, right? Mm-hmm. In one way or the other.
So if someone feels like they've messed up on this upcoming mural or another project in the future, you know, we can always paint over it. There are no mistakes. Like Bob Ross always said, you know, it's a happy little accident. So it's like, there's just always a way to make it still work.
And sometimes these accidents turn into works of art. That's true. Yeah, there are plenty of paintings that are out there that might have been not exactly what the artist intended, but it turned out to be better than it was supposed to be. So that's pretty cool. So now that you have a number of murals, I guess, lined up, do you have like a schedule all set for all this?
Yes, we have some dates and, you know, just a general idea. Hopefully the weather will cooperate with us because being exterior for this project with the You Are Not Alone one, that's definitely a consideration. But I think we can definitely have, you know, different projects, and if we have to move them interior, you know, we can try to alter the plans.
Well, I know because I don't know if they could do this on cement, but I guess on wood you could do panels mm-hmm. that you could paint inside and then take them out, right?
A lot of artists use panels or, you know, the mural cloth, and then we can apply it on the wall after the fact. So that gives people an opportunity to be able to paint in a studio or a classroom.
In more of a controlled environment.
Exactly, yes.
And sometimes it's a little bit better because if it's a windy, cold, rainy day, oh, it could be tough.
Yeah.
It could be very tough, right?
So can I ask you a question?
You sure can.
When you see my shirt, do you see a word?
Looks like yoga. But I mean, that would be my guess.
Yeah, it's also on the paper here. So I don't know if it's easier to read, but.
Love?
Yeah. Ah. So some people see love, some people see hope.
All right, I see love.
So that is actually my tattoo, the design for hope and love. So hope is the way, love is the answer. It came about because I created this. And I actually thought I could sell a bunch of t-shirts with it on it. Because I was told, oh, this is a cool logo. You should put it on merchandise.
So when I looked in the paper, I seen love right mm-hmm. away. But on the shirt, I don't know why.
Yeah.
Maybe the color
like an
combination.
Optical illusion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You so could.
I always encourage people to look for the hope and the love, you know, in every situation. They're always there. You just might have to look at a different angle or see it a little differently. So for me, with my 10-year sobriety anniversary, I created it a couple years prior to my anniversary date, thinking I want something to symbolize those words and be really meaningful. But that's really what came about out of it, my business name. And so the hope and the love is really what I always say it fuels my business, my career. So that is what I always try to have people encouraged to, not only with the art and like painting, you know, find, you know, the hope here, you know, how can we create more hope or more love in the world? So that's what I'm trying to, you know, put more out into the world with these kind of murals.
Yeah. And the first thing I thought of when I seen hope is the way and love is the answer, I thought of the Beatles right away because that a lot of their music is centered around love.
Right.
And I thought all you need is love. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that I thought of right away. And now that I'm looking at the design on your shirt, it sort of has a little Beatlesque type of look to it, believe it or not. I don't know if that's intended that way, but that's how I'm seeing it. And when you talked about that, I thought about, I don't know, years ago, this is probably prior to the pandemic, everyone looked at the dress. Was it
yellow
or black or something like that? And I couldn't figure out how people were able to see different things.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, it was really intriguing because it's like, I swore it was blue.
Yeah.
You know?
And you wonder if it's tied to which part of the brain, like people are left or right brain or sided, they say, but you know, if you're able to see both words or both colors in some way, like, yeah, it's cool.
It is cool. So as we wind down the program, if someone's looking for your services, how would they go about doing so?
The best way is my website, and there's a contact page on my website. I'm also on social media, so Facebook, Instagram, Hope is the Way, Love is the Answer.com is my website. Hope is the Way, Love is the Answer is my social media handles. So, I would love to connect with anybody that's interested in getting more involved, especially with these upcoming community-based projects. I would love to have people, you know, contribute, you know, if they wanna be part of it, you know, contribute their time and efforts to making it even better.
That is fabulous. Brittany Growler, she has been our guest here, the muralist from Hope is the Way, Love is the Answer. I'd like to thank you for all your time and all of your information. From all of us here at UMGA Television, I'm Chuck Curlin. Thank you for watching.